What's up, guys? Ryan here with another episode of Bare Bones Radio, also available in YouTube version. So if you're looking at me right now, it's because you're on the YouTube. I'm going to start putting a couple of these on there, especially the ones where I get to meet with people in person. So today I'm standing inside across from Mohawk Valley Wellness, where I've been employed for 5 years, a member of for years before that. Kind of helped me come into my own. So it's only right that we sit down with the man that built this giant facility. You're going to meet John Bartholomew today, owner of Mohawk Valley Wellness. Some things that we'll touch on, you're going to hear us talk about challenges that people put in front of themselves, how to overcome obstacles, and how he used that mindset to build from a small garage gym to this, tens of thousands of square foot facility with hundreds of members. So tune in, enjoy the episode, and thanks for jumping onto YouTube and watching this if you're here. If not, find this on YouTube, and I'll catch you in the after the episode. This is the first time I've actually done a video like this. I have an intro up there already that's said to people, like, hey, you can catch us on YouTube. Thanks for joining us on YouTube, but the majority of people haven't made their way to YouTube yet. So, we can look at the camera and smile and wave, but everybody's probably just going to be listening to us.
No problem. We'll look at the camera. Hopefully you guys can hear us. And on top of hearing us, you guys see two handsome dudes in a beautiful gym. Check us out on YouTube. It'd be even better.
So if you're not there, you're missing out. So start things off. John, thanks for sitting down, taking time on Columbus Day. Middle of the afternoon. Nothing else going on today except for tasks. No obligation. Gym is closed down except for this morning. And so we've got room and echo to sit here and do a podcast interview. So I'm going to start things off by having John just introduce himself. I've already, in the intro, let everybody know that we've got this giant gym that you've grown from your garage. So just who you are and a brief synopsis of your journey.
Awesome. So for those of you that don't know me, especially we have viewers or listeners that are all over the country, I'm John Bartholomew. I'm the owner of Mohawk Valley Wellness, which is the home of CrossFit Mohawk Valley and a whole host of other awesome programs. I'm a Central New York native. I've grown up in this lovely lovely part of the country. I've left and traveled the country and the world. Come back home and decided that this is where, at least for the foreseeable future, where I'm going to be. And started the gym with the idea of being able to do something I really love and make a business out of it. And it's grown and it's evolved and it's, it continues to grow and continues to evolve on a daily basis. And my role right now is, you know, basically oversee all the different programs and kind of direct the growth of the facility in general.
So give us a brief synopsis of size of the facility, amount of members we have, and a couple of programs that you offer.
So I know I saw Ryan a minute ago was doing a quick walk around. So the facility altogether is probably pushing between 12,000 and 13,000 square feet. So we started originally with one piece of this building that we're in, and then we slowly expanded to a little bit more. We actually absorbed into the neighboring building, and like I said, it's between 12,000 and 13,000 square feet. We will very soon break the 400 member mark, which is to include all of our adults in CrossFit, Co-Movement, Ryan's high school athlete program, personal training. So we're about to break that that barrier that I'll tell you 3-4 years ago or 7 years ago, I definitely did not think that we'd be talking about having 400 plus members. So it's an exciting place to be.
So I think something cool that's in there that I'd like to touch on for a while is that you're not, so you started off opening a CrossFit. CrossFit as a methodology for people to come in and get fit and then realize somewhere along the way that fitness is much more broad than that. And the perspective should be taken from afar on what people need, and you've broadened your horizons from outside CrossFit. So maybe we talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. So we started the business with CrossFit. I like to tell people that if you came down to us 6-7 years ago and said, hey, John, what else you have other than CrossFit? I would tell you CrossFit earlier in the day or CrossFit later in the day. We really didn't have much else. You know, the next thing we had was we had a kids program. But like Ryan just mentioned, you know, as time went on, you start to step back and look at things. And I truly believe and participate on a daily basis that CrossFit is a phenomenal training methodology for the people that it works well for, right? So, but does that mean it needs to work for everybody, or it's the end-all, be-all, and that should be the only program that we offer? And for a while, you know, starting out, that was the idea. But again, stepping back and taking a bigger picture of things, we started to realize that we could have an impact on more people, right? We would be able to help more people if maybe we offered some programs that maybe didn't require the ability to overhead squat right out the gate, or maybe didn't have the stigma or the intimidation factor that CrossFit can have tied to it. So one of the first things we started with was our rowing program, which was a phenomenal program that allowed a bigger group of people to come through our door and train in a group setting and be coached and be around other positive people, which is one of the biggest things that makes any of these group fitness programs work, is that piece. So it was a nice way to allow more people to come in through our door, and whether they did CrossFit or not, they're still getting the benefits of being around a coach, hearing the constant talk about nutrition and sleep and recovery, being around other new people, right? Being able to have that good 1 hour of a day outside of their job and outside of their, you know, their home life. So that was the next step, at least in my head, of, hey, CrossFit is our bread and butter. CrossFit is what we've done for a long time. We do really well, but it would allow us to reach out to more people. And I think from the business standpoint, it's been one of the best things that we've done in a long time.
And then you start to see that the impact that CrossFit has on people's lives. I'm saying, and it really isn't so much the fact that it's CrossFit, as much as it is the community and the involvement, and a lot of that just bleeds over. If you're around that environment all the time, you're probably going to eat a little bit better, move a little bit better. And the barrier to entry being CrossFit, like you said, if you could bring that back a little bit and say, hey, I don't care what kind of fitness you do, as long as you're moving and you're committed to it and accountable for it.
You're 100% correct, right? You know, I like CrossFit. Somebody may like our rowing program. Somebody may fall in love with our Mohawk Valley Fitness program. Someone may come in and just do personal training. But at the end of the day, if we're bringing them closer to what they want to be, they're happier, they're healthier, it doesn't matter which program they're picking. It's the fact that Ryan said, you know, they're around like-minded people. They're training consistently where they want to come in and see the other people in their class. They're looking forward to it, right? So that's the big thing is, whatever program somebody picks, is that they're looking forward to it instead of dreading going to the gym or it's a chore. So somebody that enjoys our rowing program and starts to eat a little bit better and starts to say, hey, today's Monday, I can't wait and go do my rowing program, that's a win for us. And if the only avenue they had was to come in and to have to learn how to overhead squat or be super nervous about trying to climb a rope or doing 50 burpees at a time, they may have never come through the door, never had a chance to meet any of our awesome coaches or be in the facility. So it was a good idea to allow these other programs for people to come in. And we have seen people use these programs as almost stepping stones. So somebody may come in and say, hey, look, I started with the rowing program, but you know what? I really think I'd like to do CrossFit. Or we have somebody that's been doing CrossFit and they just love our facility so much that CrossFit might not have been the best fit for them. But they just hung around because they loved everything else about it. And now they realize, well,
someday
rowing
will be another program.
Yeah, now they're like, rowing is a way better fit for me, or co-movement, or the Mohawk Valley Fitness is actually a way better fit. And I still get to see the people I love being around. I'm still going to get hammered with this stuff about nutrition. I'm still getting all the benefits of being a member of this facility. But I don't have to be in a program that's worried about, you know, 21 deadlifts, 21 handstand pushups, which for them maybe isn't a great fit. So it's been a great way for us to, again, have a bigger impact on more people, be able to, from the business standpoint, be able to retain members, right? So it was definitely a good move on our part.
Yeah, I think you and I have talked a lot about it. I think that's going to be a big shift in the community. You know, we've seen and talked about the fact that CrossFit isn't necessarily on the decline, but the growth of that particular sect of people who want to be like games athletes isn't really growing as rapidly as people worldwide, the demographic of people that are just out of shape and need something to get in through the door, right? So I honestly, from a business aspect, I think you're going to see a lot of that happening.
I agree with you there. I think you'll see the gyms that are open-minded and that are honestly looking to grow will use that as a opportunity and avenue to, again, increase that impact they can have on the community. Because if we went to the New York State Fair, mm-hmm. We took 100 people and we said, how many of you guys want to do CrossFit? You'd probably see a couple hands go up, maybe a few, right? But if we said, how many of you want to lose 10 or 15 pounds? How many of you guys want to feel better? How many of you guys want to train in a group with a lot of supportive people? How many of you guys want to have a coach to tell you what to do? You'd probably see more than half of those hands go up because that's what they want. But if you only give them that one option and it doesn't fit them, or like you said, you know, they type in CrossFit and what comes up is the CrossFit Games, and they instantly say, I can't do that, there's no way, then you just lost the chance to help that person do all those things, lose the 10, 15 pounds, feel better, build their self-confidence. Because, you know, CrossFit had this 5 to 7 year period where it became very focused on competitive fitness.
Yeah. I think something that's neat about that is with gyms like this and like you getting into that market, it gives people an option other than, we can say whatever we want on here,
yeah,
other than Zumba and jumping around to DVDs and going to classes where the qualifications to be a coach are a lot smaller than they are. That's not to say that somebody can't go and spend a grand to be a CrossFit coach on a weekend, but at least the building and the coaches have reputation and experience in high quality movement. And if they can take, and if we can take people that want to do complex movements, but then also take that same skill set and teach someone who just wants to learn how to do push-ups and ring rows and run and be a little bit more fit, then you're going to have someone who is overqualified to do that, giving them a better program, a better coach.
And from the coaches, you're 100% correct. Right, from the coach's standpoint, if we can get coaches that are good at coaching CrossFit, which has the most variables and some of the most complex things there are, and then we take those coaches and plug them into different programs that maybe are not necessarily so complex, you're 100% correct with that statement. Those coaches should have an easier time coaching those classes, which in turn gives the client or the member a better experience.
So something else you said a little while ago, and John and I actually spoke before this, one of the very few times in my life I prepared for something. We spoke a little bit before this and kind of just about what we're going to talk about, and I kind of want to segue that direction. Challenges and obstacles that people put in front of themselves. So if you were to take that same group of people at the state fair and be like, who wants to join this program or lose 10 or 15 pounds, a lot of people's first thing they're going to say is like, I've tried and I can't, or I've tried and I can't. And I think people put limitations on themselves. You had an anecdote about the rope climbs the other day, about it was a 5:30 in the morning class, and how many people were in class?
Probably 12, 13 people.
And every one of them climbed the rope unassisted, and the average age was over 40?
Probably 35 to 40 years old.
Not every one of them had a day job. None of them were paid athletes, right? None of them do this for a living. None of them are going to regionals. None of them compete above. Probably a lot of them are scaled athletes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think, and that's kind of what I want you to get into, not only that you see on a daily basis, but in your life to help you go from a garage to this, and how not seeing your own limitations helps you get there.
It's interesting that you bring this up, because I listen to a lot of different podcasts, a lot of different things, and one I was listening to this morning, and I don't know how 100% true this is, but it's a good analogy, it's a good story. So they talk about elephants, right? They take a baby elephant when it's young, and they pound a stake into the ground, and they put a chain around the elephant's neck, and that baby elephant learns that the stake secures it, and that elephant can't go anywhere. So when it's staked to the ground, it can't go anywhere, and it learns that, and it has that in its mind forever, right? So as this elephant grows, it learns, okay, it went from, you know, 600 pounds as a baby elephant to 2,000 pounds, that this little stake holds it in place. And then you go and see an elephant, a full-grown elephant, held in place by this teeny tiny stake. And the gentleman that was speaking was talking about that with mindset, that once you get this built up into your head, it is very, 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 very hard to ever break out of that mindset. And you hear it again and again and again. It's something that I firmly believe in, is that your mindset almost 100% of the time is going to determine where you end up. So one of the things that I do on a regular basis is what I call daily affirmations. And I've got a list, you know, I journal almost every day. And on the back page of that journal is a daily affirmation. I read through it and I talk about things for the business. I talk about things for my personal life, my relationships, finances, and everything underneath the sun. And I read it almost every single day. And I'm telling myself the story that I want to live out, right? Because if I don't, then I'm probably going to end up falling short of what I want to do, right? I'll get stuck with that mindset of I can't do it, right? Because whether I tell myself this positive story that I'm going to do it, or I tell myself I can't do it, either way, I'm going to end up being a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? So I've got two options. I'm going to tell myself every single day that these are the things that I'm going to do, and then I'm going to take action to go towards them. So the mindset, the idea that I can do it and that you're not really defined by what you've done in the past is so, so important. You know, 7+ years ago in my garage with 3 or 4 people, I wasn't thinking, okay, I'm going to have a staff of 15 plus, that I'm going to have this facility and all these things going on. But I sure as hell didn't think, okay, I'm going to open up a gym and it's going to be 20 people and that's all I'll ever have. And I sure as hell didn't say, I'm going to fail or I think maybe it won't work, right? So that mindset of, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to open a gym. And then as it gains some traction, okay, I want it to grow. And then you start looking at where we are in year 7 and start thinking, okay, year 10, year 15, where do we want to be? And you have to have that mindset. And that's the business side, but you have to have that mindset for nutrition, right? If your goal is to lose 30 or 40 or 50 pounds or 100 pounds, but your story you tell yourself every single day is, well, I'm overweight.
It's my genetics.
It's my genetics. Yeah. I can't do it. I failed so many times. If you're telling yourself that story, then you cannot be surprised when you live it out.
Yeah.
And as weird as it sounds and cliche as it sounds, getting up every day and saying, look, I'm not destined to be overweight my entire life, and telling yourself that every single day, I think has a profound impact to bring you to where you want to be. And you could use that with anything. You could use that with nutrition. You could use it with finances. You could use it with business. You could use it with anything. You're very rarely going to meet somebody that was successful that's going to sit down and say, you know what? Yeah, the whole time I did this, I just continued to doubt myself and tell myself I couldn't do it. I would be very surprised if we came across somebody that was their approach.
Yeah, if you put an obstacle in front of yourself, it's a real obstacle, but it's still self-imposed. So anybody listening to this probably by now knows that in a couple weeks I'm leaving to travel the country indefinitely and live out of an RV with my family. And a couple of things that we're learning along the way and just being reaffirmed about is the fact that it's not that nobody cares, but nobody's responsible for us but us, right? So as we look at venturing out into the world and realize that we are the protagonists of our story, right? We are in charge of everything that happens in this world around us, and to not expect anybody else to care as much, really, and it's just the truth. Whether it's your parents, your siblings, your friends, nobody cares as much about your story as you do because they have their own story. And when you realize that nobody else is going to do it for you or put obstacles in front of you. And everything that happens, success or otherwise, comes from yourself.
Yeah.
And it's scary, but it's also free. Right? It's scary because it's like, well, shit, now I have to do it all myself. But it's also freeing because, like, well, now shit, I can do anything I want. I can make up any story I want and go that route. What did we say a long time ago? The only thing you have to do is you have to breathe and you have to eat and drink some water.
Right? There's very, very few things you have to do, and then everything else beyond that is a choice.
Yeah.
And I love what you said, going into of like, right, you're writing a story. And I think it's Joe Rogan or somebody talks about it, like, you're authoring your own story. I think about it all the time. Right? When that day comes and I'm 6 feet in the dirt, I want people to read that story and say, man, this guy lived an amazing life. He did a lot of really awesome things. He had a good impact on a lot of people. I don't want people to be like, ah, just a regular plain, that's a boring story. I wouldn't want to read my story if it was a boring story, right?
I talked to Zach and he called, he goes, the person who writes your book about the boring thing is firefighter.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't do the things you want to do. When I talked to him, you could go back, anybody who's listening to this, I think he was like episode 3, Zach Evanesh, but hey, he was a firefighter. If you live a boring life, nobody wants to read about it.
But what tends to happen for people is that boring, and, you know, I hate to say it, that boring life is comfortable, or that's expected life.
Yeah.
But I don't think too many people, you know, it could be morbid. Again, I think, you know, if I'm on my deathbed, I don't want to have a bunch of regrets of, well, I wish I could have or should have or did this.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like you said, it's challenging. There's a lot of discomfort and unknowns, but I would rather take that on. I would rather take on the risk of failing and try it and maybe even fail. Okay, right? Failure's not fatal. It's just you learn from it. Then, you know, 20 years, 5 years from now, a year from now, 20 years, whatever, say, oh, man, I wish I had tried that. I wish I had at least giving it a shot, versus being so timid and so boring and so by the book that you don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's a boring story. Nobody wants to read that story. Well, I worked 21 years and punched the clock and did this and did everything that was expected of me, and nothing off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Boring.
You shelter yourself.
Yeah.
It's true that adversity breeds, right? So adversity being failure or like struggle or risk, because you're going to fail at things, you're going to take losses. Adversity breeds greatness. It really does. There's a little story about a guy who he lived in a palace and he never had any adversity, and he was given everything he needed and he never left the palace walls. And years and years and years and years grew up, never knew anything outside of that. Everything he could ever want, life of luxury, left the palace walls and realized that the world was completely different. So he gave himself adversity and gave up all his own belongings, and he ended up becoming the Buddha. That's the Buddha.
Pretty wild. Siddhartha
Gautama. Yeah.
So, pretty crazy. And you think about
famous.
It, right? Yeah. Pretty well known. Like you said, that adversity and those challenges are what builds you and helps define your character. And you see that in a lot of books about financial freedom and financial growth and all of those things, that the last thing you want to, I don't want to say the last thing you want to do, but if you are born into wealth and you've never learned how to work hard, you never, don't value the time and effort that's put into generating money and generating income, that can be a very slippery slope and it can lead you to failure. So they talk about, second and third generation wealthy children generally don't end up being nearly as successful as first generation, millionaires. I think it's a book, The Millionaire Next Door, talks a lot about that. A lot of first generation millionaires, self-made millionaires, they understood what it was like to put in the 60, 80 hour work weeks for 5, 7, 10 years in a row. And then they hand the keys to the business over to the kids, and the kids kind of ride the coattails, and then the second generation does okay, and third generation beats into the ground. Not because they wanted to, but they never knew the hard work that it took to get there. They never had that adversity. They never had the failures that first generation had again and again and again. And, we could spend an hour talking about just the failures I've had in 7+ years. But I think the biggest thing from that is learning from it, right? Okay, hey, if my goal was A, but this approach didn't work, I don't just say, okay, well, screw it, I'm done. I say, okay, well, let's try approach B. And guess what? That one might not work. Let's try. And again, it's consistency. That was another big thing that I think really, really helps with any endeavor, any project. We talk about it, the most fit person is the most consistent one that can come in and train the most often. Look at business. It's no different. That person that is doing what they need to do day in and day out, and not to say no days off, but is just consistently putting in the work more than the competitors, generally is the person that comes out on top. Yep. Not to say every single time, look at athletics, right? That person that is consistently training, that is not missing training, that is consistently recovering, that athlete, the majority of times, is going to come out on top. That consistency is so, so, so crucial. But it's also very difficult. It's difficult to do it all the time.
It's easy when you're winning. It's easy when everything's great. Yeah. The tough part is when you take a loss or you take a hit. And I think one of the things that I'm starting to learn along the way is a lack of emotional attachment to my wins and losses, right? I'm expecting losses now. So something that I'm doing is I'm giving seminars and dropping into gyms everywhere. And I love taking those L's right now because I'm sending out so many messages to gyms being like, hey, this is who I am, this is what I offer. And now they're getting no responses or shut down. Great, go ahead. Now I can move on. Now I know that one's closed and I can try a different approach to talk. And it's, I think when people get caught up with, I don't know if it's an embarrassment or emotional attachment to a plan and that doesn't work, I think that's when they back off. And it doesn't have to do with just business. It could be, I tried this diet plan because so-and-so, and I gave it all of my energy. This was the end-all, be-all. I was going to go on South Beach or whatever the fuck, and I was going to just crush it. I was going to have a six-pack in 6 weeks, and I was going to have chains around my neck, doing it right. But it didn't work, and all of a sudden, since it was all their energy and they're emotionally attached to it, all of a sudden, it was it, and they're embarrassed, it didn't work, and then they're done. Yeah, rather than learning.
I think I've seen it somewhere, and it's just it's that diagram of, okay, your starting point is here, and your goal is here. It's not a perfect trajectory from A to B. If you were going into business, if you go working on anything, again, all these topics that we talk about have so many parallels and so much carryover, it's not even funny, right? So education, okay, I want to get a master's, I want to get a whatever. okay, you start here and you're trying to get to here. It's not a perfect straight line. You might have a great semester, then a semester where something happens in your life and it takes a nosedive, and then you can either quit or you can grind back up and it might plateau. Training, hey, I want to deadlift 600 pounds. Well, you're at 500. You don't go from 500 to 600. You might go to 525, a bad training cycle, back to 515, and it's the same thing. But what are we going back to, right? Understanding that failure is not the worst thing in the world. You can learn from it, and then you have to drill that consistency, right? Okay, so you get beat up a little bit along the way. Oh, well, did you learn from it? Cool,
yeah.
Shake it off, get back in and train, get back in and hit the books, get back in and fix your nutrition, whatever it is. You know, that most consistent person that just puts in the time, the effort, and they stay steadfast on what that goal is, you know, they're usually the ones that come out on top. And you can look at, you know, you can look at all different things. Like I said, you can look at successful businesses. You can look at successful athletes. You can look at successful anything. You know, getting there, you know, again, cliche, sounds cliche. There's not a ton of great shortcuts to get to where you want to get to, which is why being successful and being above average, there's less people there.
Yeah, and that's why it's cliche. I mean, we tell people that come in for nutrition advice that are looking for, like, the perfect meal or this and that, and it's not, there's none of that with anything. It is literally just you have all the steps and you know everything. Anybody that comes through this door that says, I need help with nutrition, we can sit down. I guarantee you they could write their own nutrition plan. They could, because you already know everything you have. It's just a matter of being accountable and doing it.
They're just looking for a little fire underneath the ass, and a little bit of accountability so that they can be what? More consistent with it. Because on their own, they're struggling with that. But you're 100% correct with that.
So what do you got coming up next for you? We just had Battle of the Benefit Badge this past weekend.
So we just finished what we would consider a medium-sized event, 220, 230 athlete event at Mohawk Valley Community College, which is a local college. That was a fundraiser for us, and that was going to be a deciding factor for me whether we did our large winter competition based on how this one went, right? And it actually went really, really well. And I attribute that to Ryan. I attribute that to Tim. I attribute that to all of our staff that comes together, because there's so much behind the scenes. You know, you just look at it, it just looks like a bunch of people doing competitive fitness, but there's a whole online scoring system that's taking place that requires about three people to run that. There's a staff of judges, 12 or 14 people, all the equipment. We moved, if you did the math, we moved probably 20,000 pounds of equipment twice.
A couple times.
In less than 24 hours. So the next big thing for us, honestly, is probably, you know, this facility is kind of getting buttoned up. So we finished up a space in the back. So me, I'm always polishing. Is there anything that we can make the place look cosmetically a little bit better? What can we do for our coaches? What can we do for the members? So always looking for little things there. But the next two big things would probably be a large competition in spring, late winter, spring, and then the possibility of doing a second location, right? We're coming up on 8 years of doing this, and I feel confident that we could take the lessons learned, failures and successes, and put them in place to obviously start on a smaller scale and make what we've done here, the community, the training, the fact that people at 5 a.m. this place tomorrow will be packed, 5:30 this place will be mobbed. Right? How do we create that in another facility? So that's kind of where my head's at.
Something that a lot of people might not know is that this is where I started. It was our old facility. Mm-hmm. It was about 1,000 square feet.
Maybe 1,300.
Yeah, small place. And before that, you had your garage.
Yep.
But at 1,300 is where I came in back when I was still cleaning toilets for a living, but just reading everything I could about fitness and exercise in my downtime, any chance I had if I wasn't in the gym. And I attribute a lot of my success and why you guys know who I am and why I am a strength coach because of John. John brought me on and taught me everything. And I think some things that I've learned, and I think you probably just caught it in the middle of what you were talking about when I asked John what was next, and he said helping people, helping coaches, helping members, and what can you do to provide things for other people. I think that's been a trend with John and John's success, and I think if anybody takes actionable steps out of this, it's that, you know, you watch what people do and success leaves clues. And something that John's done a fantastic job of over the years is just look to how can you provide value to other people and help people and help and help. And now we're literally sitting in over 10,000 square feet, and that, like he said, will be there isn't a quiet spot in this room for hours at a time or multiple days a week. Right, in this entire building, because people just want to be here. It's just the place.
Yeah, when Ryan and I had the first discussion of Ryan leaving to go travel and head out to the West Coast, one of the things that we chatted about was business and how things have changed for me, right? So obviously, you have to go into business with the idea of generating some sort of profit. Unless you just have millions of dollars and you're not trying to pay your mortgage or, you know, eat, you have to make money with a business. That's, you have to be able to do that. But what I told Ryan is over time, I started to realize that the more you shift the focus away from just dollar bills to, hey, how can I help people? How can I really have more of an impact? How can I be a kinder person? How can I be a better person and push that out to other people? The dollar bills started to follow that more versus if I was just chasing dollar bills every single day, all I did was focus on just dollar bills every day, I don't think we'd be where we are. And that was a shift for me. That was a different mind shift, right? You have to, like I said, I can't say, okay, look, you know, this is a not-for-profit and hopefully the lights will stay on by themselves, and that's not the case. But once you start looking at, hey, what else can we do for the members? What else can I do for my coaches, right? I take the coaches out and I make it very, very clear to them that I am not in the position to be able to run this facility as a one-man show, even close, right? We chatted with somebody this morning. On a normal day, there's roughly between 14 to 17 different classes that go on in this facility on a given day. I can't physically do that myself. That's on top of every other thing that has to get done with this facility, from cleaning it to payroll to membership billing and the million other things that fall underneath the scope of running the business. So making sure that my coaches know that they're appreciated, making sure my coaches know that, you know, they are a huge part of the success as a business owner and even more so as a leader and just trying to be a better person, making sure that I am constantly expressing my gratitude and my thankfulness to the staff that helps create this. I can't do this. If I just ground all the coaches into the dirt and said, you guys can't ever have any flexible hours and just ran it like that, we would not be where we are today. So I attribute so much of the success to everybody other than myself. I'm just giving some direction at this point. You know, I coach classes here and there, but I'm giving direction, you know, making sure that we're doing things to the best standard that we can. But the coaches are truly the backbone of what keeps this place going in the right direction. Like I said, I give it some, you know, I'm holding the steering wheel, but the coaches are the ones that are doing the bulk of all of the things that, you know, got us voted the best for this year, you know, the best gym in the area, right? Take the event we just ran. I ran around on a microphone and said 3, 2, 1, go, right? I had a staff that was changing plates. I had judges. I had all this other stuff. I'm just the guy up there with the microphone or holding the steering wheel. Everybody else that pitches in and contributes all that effort are the ones that really, really need to be. You have to make sure that they understand how valuable they absolutely are to the success of the facility.
And you get that value from people by leading from the front. And you had said in there also making yourself a better person and being the kind of person that people will follow and will help.
Yeah.
I think that is a lot to do with, ever since I became a father, I realized that is one of the single most events in my life that made me a better person. Because then I started to realize it wasn't just about me anymore. It started to become about what kind of role am I going to set? What kind of example am I going to set? And you can't tell a kid to do things. Kids will do what you do, right? And I think on the same token, it's the same thing in here. If you want to be a figurehead, a coach, an inspiration to other people, you need to live that life.
Absolutely.
Right? So you have to be kind. You have to help. You have to make the time to stop and how busy you are and chat with someone along the way, because you're like, oh, if I do this, it's going to be great for my facility, because you truly care.
Absolutely.
Right? I think it's a super important thing for any walk of life.
I think one of the most rewarding things that you, as a business owner, this is just me speaking my opinions, is being able to really allow people to do something that they enjoy and call that their job, their career, right? So to be able to take somebody from a position that they did not enjoy, that they had no passion for, and to be able to bring them in and put them into a spot that they really enjoy doing, and then making sure that they're being paid well to do that, for me, was one of the most rewarding things that I've done in my adult life. And like you said, becoming a parent really made you say, okay, this is not all about me anymore. I'm not a parent yet, right? But what I have is I do have coaches, and I have full-time coaches. So in my head all the time is I have to do the right thing because I have employees, I have staff members that they're feeding their children, they're paying their mortgage, they're paying their bills based on the success of this facility. So I have to conduct myself in the utmost professional manner I can all the time because I wouldn't want to do something to jeopardize somebody else's position because I couldn't conduct myself in that manner. So like you said, obviously I'm not parents to these employees and these other coaches, but I feel that I have to absolutely do the best I can as a employer, as a person, to be that figurehead, to be that role model. Because if I go out and don't do the things that I'm asking my members to do and I don't act that part, then the business will probably suffer. And then below that, then everybody that's in the business suffers along with it. So that is a huge motivating factor for me to just continue to do the things that I know I need to do, right? Be the best person I can be. Stay disciplined with my actions. Keep my head on straight and just keep moving in the right direction.
So let's wrap it up with, if you had to pick three actionable steps for people that they can enact today or this week to make their lives better from your perspective, what would they be?
So the first one would be what we talk about with the daily affirmations is you've got to have a goal or have a plan or have something you want to work towards. And then you have to, I don't want to say have to, but you should, especially if you want to be moving towards it, read it and read it out loud as often as you can, because you're always telling yourself a story in your head. And you're going to live that story out, whether it's a positive story or a negative story. So why not make it a positive story? And don't be scared to make it a grandiose story, right? Make it a story that you want to read, that your grandkids would want to read, right? So those daily affirmations of, hey, I'm going to do this with my health. I'm going to do this with my relationship. I'm going to do this with my career, my education. I'm going to do this with my finances. So the daily affirmations, I'll read it as often as you can. And a great time to read it is when you have a shitty day. Right, so when you have that day where the wheels are falling off and everything is going wrong, you spill coffee in your lap, you're late, you know, everything's going wrong, that's a day to read it. That's a day to say, I'm still going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Because that's when you need it. Like you said, when you're doing great, it's not a big deal. It's when it's when you're struggling that it's a much bigger deal. So daily affirmations would be number one. Number two, we own a gym. So physical activity on a daily basis. I don't care if it's doing 50 air squats. I don't care if it's dancing, swimming, long distance running, CrossFit, powerlifting, martial arts, competitive ping pong, whatever it is, some form of physical activity, some sort of physical exertion on a daily or almost daily basis, right? We would spend 2 hours just talking about that, the benefits, right? It clears your head, it's good for you. There's so many positives to physical activity. And again, that's such a broad spectrum. And it doesn't matter what it is. Change it up. In fact, don't do the same thing every single day.
It should change be
it
different.
Up. Do totally. Different things. And probably one thing that we didn't touch on, maybe just a little bit, is go and find things that make you uncomfortable. And if there's things in your life that you know are making you uncomfortable, approach them. Approach them in an intelligent fashion. Hey, I know I'm avoiding this. Well, guess what? If you're avoiding it, there's probably a reason why, right? Do the uncomfortable things on a regular basis. Seek out those things because that's what makes you grow. If you just sit around in this comfortable bubble all the time, you're going to have a boring-ass story. You're going to have a boring-ass story that nobody wants to read. But if you constantly seek out, I don't want to say discomfort, but challenges and adversity and things that are difficult for you, you will probably grow more than you could ever imagine. You'll probably have an interesting story. And that to me is a game changer. The more you can intelligently seek out challenging things and things that make you a little bit uncomfortable, I think that's how you truly, truly, truly find that growth that you're looking for. So
say yes a lot to things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
If it's okay for your life, but say yes to things that you normally say no to
because
you want to go home and watch Netflix.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times like we've gone out someplace and we sit home and watch Netflix often, right? Because I like to.
Maybe last night.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times like I'll be getting ready for something with Britt, and we're getting ready to go, and be like, man, look at you, and be like, should we just sit home tonight? Like a Saturday night. But then we don't, and we have an awesome time.
Absolutely.
We get home and be like, I'm so happy we went. So happy we got away from what was normal and did something. Right. Seeing friends, getting out, going on an adventure, a hike, an overnight, something like that.
Again, let's fast forward, let's say 70 years, right? I want to be 100 plus years old. I'm not going to sit, hopefully, in my deathbed and go, I wish I had four more Netflix marathons. I'm going to say, man, I wish I had gone to this part of the world. I wish I had done this with my children. I wish I had more of this. I'm not going to say, oh, if I only had two more hours of Netflix and chill. Oh, I need that. So
that being said, what show are you on right now?
Huge fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I watched that. We watched like two of them last night. I fell asleep. It's pretty funny. And that's the other thing, guys, is you have to have balance, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be just this zealot and I'm always doing uncomfortable stuff and I'm sleeping on the floor and I got no TV. You have to have that balance in there. You have to have the time where you just chill and watch some Netflix or you just eat the chocolate covered brownie. You've got to have that stuff. You have to have that balance so that you can enjoy life. It's not a all or nothing, you know, but with that, spend more time educating yourself than entertaining yourself, right? Crack open a book. You know, if you're going to be watching TV, watch a documentary. I think that's a big thing is continue your education. So many of us are past our formal education, but why should it end? Crack a book, learn something new, find something that you struggle with. But you know what? I want to learn this because it's not easy for me. You know, I suck at dancing. I'm going to try and pursue ballroom dancing. I'm going to look like I'm, you know, having a fit.
I remember watching you learn to skip.
Right? I had a problem trying to learn how to skip. I am not, believe it or not, I went to a gym and not super coordinated. But if I learn and I drill and I practice, I can get pretty good at things. So, but you have to be okay with being humble and be like, man, I suck at skipping. Man, I can't dance to save my life. And once you get past that, then you can do it more often and you get better at it. So.
Let's end with a joke. What do you got?
What do you call Richard with the bum knee?
What?
Limp dick. Ryan, it's been an absolute blast.
Thanks, John.